get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Hello, folks. Welcome to a very special Emotional Hangs. This is Joe DeRosa. And if you'll notice, so far in this episode, it's only been me talking. Where is my fine friend, Kurt Braunohler? Where is he? Where is my partner in crime and in love? He's in Montreal, and here's what we're going to do while Kurt's in Montreal. We're having a few hiccups in recording us both remotely, as I am in Los Angeles, and he is in a city that isn't a living hell on earth. We decided that what we're going to do is to cover the sort of time that's elapsing here until he's back with some special episodes, and this is the first of those episodes. And what this episode will consist of is myself writing a 20-minute audio letter to my dear friend Kurt. And when my letter finishes on this same episode, you will hear Kurt's response to it. So you got it? You ready to do it? Then on the count of three, one, two, three, let's get soft. Kurt. Dearest Kurt, I sit here now writing to you from my apartment in Los Angeles, California, the very apartment that we record in on many days. I'm in fact sitting in the chair you often sit in when we record, and just sitting in it, missing you. Loving you. Smelling you. The chair smells, Kurt, because you sat in it and now it smells like a big, tall fuck. And yes, I'm turning this now into an antagonizing thing because I am not comfortable sitting that long in a tender emotion with a piece of shit like you. I do miss you, buddy. I miss you. It's weird not having you around. It's stirring up all kinds of new fears in me over our friendship that you've gone off to Montreal to work on this big motion picture and you're just going to spread your wings and fly away. And I'll be back here doing 8-minute spots at the lab inside the Improv. For those of you that aren't familiar, the Improv is a club here, and then there's a small room inside of it called the Lab. So I'm not even, in my fantasy, it's the worst case scenario that I'm only performing in the small room while Kurt is like at a party, you know, with like, you know, Jonah Hill on one side and I don't know, Kate Blanchett on the other, you know. And they're doing that thing where they're doing a champagne toast, but they're doing that thing where they're all locking their arms. You know, where you put your arms around each other and you like sip each other's glasses. You know what I mean? And they go, here's to the suckers that didn't make it. And they all cackle their heads and remember a person from their past. You know, that they left in the shit. That's me. I'm the shit person in this scenario. Then again, you know, who knows? Kurt, you could be up there and just really botching the whole damn job and you might get run out of show business. I don't know how it's going to go. I can tell you how I want it to go, though. I want you to do great up there. I'm very proud of you. This part's sincere. And I think that it's a very cool gig that you got. And I think it's very nice that you're doing it. And I think it's very exciting. And I want you to kick ass at it. And I want you just to still love me at the end of all of it. That's all. That's all. That's all I want. I just want you to still care about me as your star rises. You know? Who knows? Maybe you come back in December and you come to my apartment and you knock on the door and then some like Russian man answers it. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I was looking for Joe DeRosa. I must have the, do I have the wrong apartment? And he's like, Joe do not live here anymore. I don't know. I don't know how to do a Russian accent. This is just my take on it. Joe move. He leave address for friends. And then he hands you a piece of paper. And then I go to, you go to the address. And it's like a big mansion. It's the Playboy Mansion. I now let you find out I now live in the Playboy Mansion. And, you know, you drive up the big driveway and there's like women in bikinis playing tag on the front lawn with sprinklers going. You know? Maybe they live there. Who knows? It's hard to tell. And then you come inside and I'm upstairs locked away in a dark room with books lining the walls, wearing a satin crimson robe. You know what I mean? And I'm just, you come in and you're like, dude, what happened? You struck gold, you know? But I'm not even like happy. I've only been there for like 3 weeks, but I'm already in the like, where did it all go, Kurt? Where does a man's soul go when it leaves his body in exchange for the success this filth town has to offer? You know, I'm like that guy now. Or maybe you just come home and it's just totally normal. Or we go the other way with it. You come home and I'm, you know, living in the dumpster behind the 7-Eleven on Rowena. That's a good name for a street out here. If you don't live in LA, there's a street called Rowena. And I have to say it that way every time I drive past it. My other favorite street in LA is Alexandria, which is a great street because every time you drive by that one, you can go, Alexandria! Like Sean Connery in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which I do every single time. If you want to know where my life is at, this is what happens when you don't have a partner or a spouse or a child. You yell things like that to yourself to make it not feel so empty in the car. Anyway, Kurt, you've been hard to get in touch with. I will say that. You did say in your email that you've been working 12-hour days. I don't believe it, quite frankly. Does anybody really work 12-hour days? That's what everybody says. No offense if any of you are out there working 12-hour days. But we got an email from Kurt, and he's like, I can only record on the weekends. I'm working 12-hour days. I feel like that's just the number people go to. You know, nobody wants to hear, I work 10 hours and 15 minutes today. It just doesn't sound as real, you know? You better say 12. Don't tell them you worked 9.5 hours. You better say 12. Don't tell them you worked 13 hours. That's not believable. You better say 12. Go with 12. Just an even 12. Right on the nose. In at 8 a.m., out at 8 p.m., on the dot, every day. A perfect 12 hours. So Kurt says that you say that you're working 12-hour days. I'm going to go ahead and give you the benefit of the doubt and believe you for now. But you've been hard to get in touch with, which I'm not mad about in any way. I'm not like, you're working on a film set, you know? You can't step off a film set to reply to a text, because next thing you know, the director's like, where's Brunner? You know? And you run in with his coffee. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It'll never happen again. Mr. Scorsese. You know. And you go, you'll never work in Montreal again, Bronoler. And you know. Is that, by the way, when they scream your name like that, are they saying it correctly? Are they pronouncing it correctly? Notice that I've said it. I think I've said it correctly through this whole... I think I have. I don't fucking know. But I'm doing my best. But I hope that they're saying it correctly when they scream it at you. And then, you know, when he takes the sip of the coffee and he goes... and spits it in your face. Tastes like dog piss, Bronoler. I said it wrong just there. Tastes like dog piss, Bronoler. Get me a cappuccino. You know? And then you go off and you get a cappuccino. And then Jane Fonda goes to Scorsese and she's like, the new kid's bugging me, Marty. Marty, the new kid's bugging me. You know, he knocks on my trailer door. He says, 5 minutes, Miss Fonda. And I say, I know 5 minutes because I've worked in this business for 60 fucking years. I don't need a cattle call every time I have to go to set. And let me tell you this, Bronoler, if I feel like taking 15 minutes, I will. I feel like I just bled somehow into a John Mulaney character. Well, let me tell you this, folks. I'll be here. Just for those of you listening at home, I've known John for many years. I realized something. You can do a John Mulaney impression and a Steve Urkel impression. They're identical impressions. If you can do one, you can do both. Ready? So here's... Steve Urkel will go like, did I do that? That's Steve Urkel. And then John Mulaney, like a punchline to one of his jokes, will be like, riddled with homeless people. It's the same, literally the exact same impression. I don't know how to do a Nick Kroll impression. I'm sorry. I've tried. I did a Kurt impression, actually, when we did Emotional Hangs Live. We both did stand-up sets afterwards, and Kurt went first. And then I went on stage after and did an impression of him. So Kurt sounds like an excited stepdad, I noticed. Y'all ready you ready to do a show? This lady had bees in her house. Bees! Everything's terrible and we should burn it down. I would... want to burn it down, stepdad, but you just sound so happy when you say everything is terrible. Everything sucks and we should burn it all down. Yeah, again, it doesn't sound that bad when you say it. Anyway, Kurt, what's going on in my life now that I've pontificated on what's happening on this movie set up there? I've never really been on a movie set, so I don't know how it goes, you know? I hope it's going well. I really do mean that. It's, you know, we kid. We like to goof about a lot on this show, but we love each other, and I do hope it's going well, and I'm sure it is. I'm sure you're killing it. And I know you're not getting coffee for people. I know you're writing on the movie. So, you know, let me just be clear. What's going on in my life? Okay, so I've sunk further into my retro video game addiction. It's not even just retro anymore. It's everything. I have purchased, since you left, a Nintendo DS, a Sony PSP, which is the original PlayStation Portable, and a Nintendo 3DS XL. Because I can't stop, apparently. I've also bought games for each one of these handheld systems. Getting big into this. I'm going to try and expand the handheld collection now. Also bought more video games for my PS4. I got my Intellivision working finally. It didn't work forever. I had it in a drawer for a while. I had given up on it. Finally have it working. I finally have my ColecoVision throwback working properly and hooked up to the TV. So I am sitting here staring at roughly, I think I am up to 16 systems in my home. Not counting the Galaga arcade machine, This is me, not me bragging, by the way. I'm not doing well. This is a man who, like a 12-year-old, doesn't know how to spend his allowance properly. So this is by no means me being like, look at the things I've acquired. This is me being like, look at the shit I spent my money on. Now listen to me complain that I can't buy a house and I might not have health insurance in a month. So anyway, so that's been happening, but it's been, it brings me great joy. I just love video game collecting. So I've been doing that. I've been pitching some things here on the business side of things. I've been pitching some things. Those meetings have been going nicely. I feel very positive about those. I've been writing my penthouse column. That's been going very well. My other podcast has been going very well. We'll See You in Hell, featuring Patrick Walsh and myself. So all, you know, is status quo. On the emotional front, ups and downs. Little sad sometimes, very happy sometimes, up the middle most of the time. You know, it's just a weird world. It's a weird world, and I will tell you this. You do notice the absence of a good friend, because I don't have many good friends in LA here. I have some very dear, close friends. And look, let's be honest. If you have two, you're a rich person. And I feel very lucky to have more than two, but under three. You know, but I do feel lucky. I have a handful of people in my life out here that I am very, very close with. And when one of them is gone, you notice the absence. It's like you're running, do an analogy that only I can relate to. It's like you're running a McDonald's. And you know, you got your burger lady, you got your fry guy. And then one day you look up and you go, shit, Mr. and Mrs. Shake Machine are gone. What do we do now? You know, it's there's a hole, there's a gap. So I do miss you quite a bit. I miss Lauren as well, quite a bit. And I miss Olive quite a bit. And I barely know Olive. And she's only been around for, you know, not even a year. So, you know, you can imagine how much I miss you, buddy. I've known you a lot longer than that. but, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I look forward very much to your return. And when you do get back, we'll have some fun, man. It'll be right before Christmas time, so that'll be nice. And that's my favorite time of year. I love the holidays. I'm very excited for Thanksgiving coming up. What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving up there? Are you going to have like a... Well, actually, I'll see you before Thanksgiving because we'll be doing the Emotional Hangs live pod at the Come and Take It Fest, Houston, Texas, the 19th, 18th and 19th of November. So I'll see you right before Thanksgiving just to get a couple other plugs. And I'll also be headlining one night on November 17th in Dallas-Fort Worth. Information for that will be on my website, and also the 15th in Austin, Texas. Again, all information will be on the website. I'll be putting that up before this even hits the airwaves. So you can go check it out. But what are you guys doing up there for Thanksgiving? That's fun. I'd like to know, but you don't have to answer me now. You can tell me when we see you in Austin, when I see you in Austin. I actually am going to surprisingly get to go home and see my folks. And I'm very excited about that, because I will close with this. I've had some sad moments lately about the distance between me and my parents, not emotional distance, just physical distance. You know, they live in South Jersey. I live in Los Angeles, and you know, they're 70. It's not old these days, but you know, it's not spring chicken age either, obviously. So yeah, I've been feeling guilt lately about the distance between me and them, and if I am would be a better son if I lived physically closer. And then I say, well, you can't do that. You got to live your life, and everybody does their best to spend time together, and that's all you can do. But I don't know. I'm happy that I'm by chance now going to see them just because I have to go to New York now for a work-related thing 2 days before Thanksgiving. I'm happy that I will see them. And they don't know yet. I'm going to surprise them. So if you hear this, don't go writing to my parents and ruining the surprise, okay? Let me surprise them. So that's nice. But I don't know, man. Sometimes I still think about I should move back to New York, and I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on everything I said. And I also look forward to whatever insults you send back my way, because I'm sure there will be plenty. I love you, buddy. I hope you're doing well. Your friend, Joe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Kurt Brownler side of this episode of Emotional Hangs. 1, 2, 3. Let's get soft. Sorry if there's an echo. I'm in the ceilings are very tall in this apartment, and it's kind of like I live in a IKEA Met an Apple store, and I had a baby, and that is where I live all the time. As if like a bunch of books moved into a new museum, and we're like, this is our home now. That's what this place looks and feels like. It is not very warm or inviting. There is no art on the wall other than I just noticed the saddest painting of a smeary, rainy street. And that is the best way I can describe it. It's a smeary, rainy, and all the people walking have no facial features. They are just blank smears. And outside, it looks a lot like that. I've been lucky every day up until now in Montreal has been surprisingly warm and beautiful. And it just turned today. And I think that is the end of the niceness. It is just gray and rainy and cold outside. And it's just going to get worse. That is the overwhelming feeling, is that it is just going to get worse. Joe, I want to say your note was very funny and it was very touching. I enjoyed every aspect of it. I don't think that when I come back, there will be a Russian man living in your apartment or that you'll be living in the Playboy Mansion. What I do think is that I'll come in and I'll open the door and you won't even get up. You'll just be sitting in a chair rocking, and assembled in the middle of the room will be a woman that you have fashioned out of video game cartridges. And I'll just keep saying like, I'm back, Joe, I'm back. And you'd be like, shh, Yvonne is talking. And I'll be like, what do you mean? What are you saying, Joe? Who's Yvonne? And then you just would go and like caress some video game cartridges and say, this is Yvonne. Yvonne wants you to leave now. And then I'm like, oh, and then I have to just slowly back out and close the door as you begin to kiss the video game cartridge that is her mouth. So that's what I imagine happening when I get back. And to let you know what my life is like here, I liked Jane Fonda not liking the new guy around and me getting coffee for everyone. It is, and also this is the craziest thing that you said, that you couldn't believe I work 12-hour set. Have you ever been you've done television before. You've been on Better Call Saul. Don't you understand how it works? They are required to be 12-hour days. Actually, it's 12 and a half because we get a half hour for lunch, but we have to work for 12 hours. So if I go in at 8 a.m., I get out at 8:30 p.m. every day. And if I go in at 11 a.m., I get out at 11:30 p.m. every day. And this weekend, we work through the weekend as well. So it's really intense. It's good. It's good. I'm loving it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm sure people are going to be like, what movie is it? Don't worry about it. I'm not going to go into it. We can talk about it later when it comes out and stuff. But yeah, it's intense, but it's really good. It's fun and stressful and sometimes boring, which is what being on a movie set is. You know, you're sitting around a lot until you're immediately needed, and it's very stressful. But I think I think I'm doing a good job. And that's the thing. The time is filled with anxiety because onset writing is like you're just sitting around and then you have to like know when the moment is for you to be like, I have something to add. And if it's not a good thing to add, then you just wasted everybody's time and it kind of feels that way. Do you know what I mean? So it is like you can very easily get in your head. Like if you didn't have a lot of killer jokes that day and you didn't get a lot of stuff in, it definitely feels like you failed in some way. And then it's long hours. It's very long hours. So you have to kind of like stay on your game, even though you've been at work for 11 hours or whatever. But it is interesting. It is, I'm learning a ton. Montreal, I'll tell you, Joe, the main thing about being here is that it's a different country. It is a different country. And you don't think like, it's Canada. It's not. But Montreal is like, everything's in French. And there's a lot of people who just don't speak English. They just speak French, which I don't understand how that happens, how you live in Canada and don't speak English. But I guess that from their perspective, how can you live in Canada and not speak French? So, for instance, I'll explain to you the day-to-day difficulties. I don't have a lot of time off, and when I do, I have to, like, you know, get errands done. So today I wanted to go to the grocery store, and I had ordered something from Amazon, some mints, because I can't get the mints that I like here, and I'm addicted to these little tiny Altoids. And so Amazon was like, you can have it dropped off at this locker, and you go pick it up at the locker. I'm like, great. Sends me the address. It just says, like, BP La Rue Papon. And I was like, what is BP La Rue Papon? And then I was like, well, here's an address. So I put it in Google Maps. I go to that address. And it's just a bus stop and then air behind it, like nothing there whatsoever. So then I hunt off. Then there's an underground mall that's underneath that bus stop, which I like finally find the entrance to, which is nowhere near where the address says on Google Maps. But then once in there, it's just a bunch of stores, and I don't know what a BP is. I thought it was a gas station when I ordered it. I was like, yeah, I'll go to the BP. It's a fucking British Petrol, right? Nope. So then one full trip looking for it, wandering around this underground mall. Then I decide today to drive back over there and try and find it because I get more information. There's a number. I have an additional number, 5062, whatever the fuck that means. And so I drive and I park because it's pouring rain. So I drive over and I park in the underground parking lot. And then I finally ask someone and he's like, oh yeah, it's inside this grocery store. So you go into the underground mall, you hunt around, you find a grocery store, you head all the way to the back and then all the way to the left. And there's a BP, which is a fucking bonk to post or whatever, and it's a fucking post office in a grocery store. Who the fuck would? And there's no signs anywhere for this fucking thing. And then I have to talk to them. They give me my fucking Altoids. All of this for Altoids. Then after that, the credit card, the machine to get out of the parking lot won't take my credit card because it's American. So then I have to park my car again and go back upstairs. And then that machine is broken. So then I have to get a security guard who then tries to break the machine open to like punch it or something for 20 minutes. That doesn't work. Then finally I have to walk back down and he has to like manually open the gate for me. So I was essentially trapped in an underground parking lot for 30 minutes. It's 2 p.m. right now. All I've done is go to the grocery store and pick up some mints and I'm fucking exhausted. And alone. Just alone. We're living very similar lives right now, Joe. Very similar lives. But I don't have a lot of video games. I just have a TV. And I'm just getting into it. I miss you, buddy. I wish I was there. I miss being in LA. And this is just the beginning. It's only been the first week. And there's a lot of weeks. A lot of weeks to be away. I like that when you said how you felt, you're like, I feel happy. And I feel sad. So just normal human things. That's how you're feeling. And also, I do appreciate that you referred to me as the Mr. and Mrs. Shake Machine person in the McDonald's of your life, I guess. That's what you chose to describe your life as a McDonald's, that you manage a McDonald's. And I think that's interesting. Maybe it's something to look into. All the exits here in Montreal are called sorties. So one of my favorite jokes when I get on stage is to go, "Where my sorties at? Where my sorties at?" And that's how I find my emergency exits here in Montreal. So I think that's a fun joke. Got to do some stand-up the other night for a Puerto Rico benefit. Good times, great oldies. And, you know, let's address the big thing is moving to New York. What are you going to do in New York? What? You just want to walk around, rub up against people? Is that what you want? Huh? Huh? I mean, look, I don't want, if you really think you're going to be happy in New York, but every time you go to New York, you're just like, all I did was go out every night, and now I'm depressed. So stay in L.A. and just make something in L.A., you know? You've seen how difficult it is to do this podcast when we're in different cities. That'll be a thing. That'll be much more difficult if you're in New York City. Joe, you mean a lot to me. And I wish you could come visit. I wish you were here. I miss you. I miss my family. You know, and that's the thing. This is the crazy part, too, where it's just like, I'm out working, you know, making some bread. But it's like, it's just that crazy, like, thing where it's just like, it was a great opportunity. I got to do it. But I'm away from my family and my friends and my whole life for 2.5 months. And so I'm not complaining, guys. I'm not complaining. But, you know, It's difficult, and I definitely get, because you know, Joe, how it is when you're out on the road doing stand-up. I mean, here, I know people, you know, and I go to a job and everything like that, but then on the weekends, you know, you're just in a foreign city by yourself, which is very much like being on tour. So it is like, I've been here 2 weeks, you know, and so I think you have to battle melancholy, and also I don't know how to deal with the weather, so I want to exercise because I know that personally helps me deal with melancholy. But it's freezing and raining out, and so I mean, I guess I could just fucking sit here and do squats in the living room, but that just feels so sad. It feels so sad to just be sitting doing squats by myself in this goddamn living room. It's real easy because it's fucking, what is it, 2 p.m. on a Sunday. I've got, what am I going to do? I've done my errands for the day. I'll just sit here and pickle myself to death while watching Stranger Things, which, by the way, second season, not too great. Not too great. First season was definitely a page turner. If you could call a television show a page turner, but I'm not going out on a limb for a second season. Feels a little too, look, it's the 80s. Is that enough to hold your attention? Brett Gelman is good in it though. He's doing a great job. Super creepy. Definitely wants to watch some kids have sex, I think. You'll get to that. You'll understand that once you get to his episode. But basically, man, I've just been, just a working man. Also, here's an interesting thing, Joe, and you can, and this is going to everyone else in the world is going to sound like you can go fuck yourself. But I'm not used to having a job. As Joe and I well know, our job is to like go out on the road and be lonely for days on end and do shows for drunk people at night. And that's our job. And so, yeah, it has its drawbacks, but for the most part, it is not a grind. It's not a daily grind. And now I'm in a daily grind, and my whole body is unused to it. So it's another thing of like just learning how to have a job again, which is a crazy thing. And hey, happy to have a job. Very happy to have a job. But when are we getting, when can I have a job where my family is, where my friends are, where Joe DeRosa is? That's all I want. And you know what? I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to stop complaining right now because I feel very lucky to be doing this. And it's fun. And I ran out of steam on that. It's much more fun to just worry and complain, isn't it? Well, it's not fun. It's just the default. It's the default mode for the brain, isn't it? Just the worry and the anxiety. And Joe, I think you're doing great, pal. I don't think you should move to LA unless you really want to. I support you in any decision. Here's another thing. I don't got silverware. This is a crazy thing about Montreal apartments when you rent them. They don't provide you with silverware. So I've been eating everything with just a very sharp knife, like the sharpest knife. I have a bunch of sharp knives and no silverware. So how do you eat eggs? You balance eggs on a sharp knife and you tip them into your mouth. So if I cut my tongue open, it's because that's how I'm eating. I did just buy some plasticware, which feels bad for the environment. But what else am I going to do? I'm going to go out and fucking buy an actual fork and knife set for myself. And for Thanksgiving, I'm flying back to LA on Thanksgiving. So if you're back, I doubt you will you be because I know where you're going to be now. Yeah, I'm flying back to LA for Thanksgiving because I work right up until the day before. And so I'm going to be in LA for 2.5 days. But I think you'll be in Pennsylvania. So we'll miss each other. But Joe, I love you, buddy. I miss you. Next week, let's try and do this so we can be talking to each other on the phone. And also, Joe complaining about me. Oh, Kurt says he's working 12-hour days, so we can't record at night. Every time I'm like, on the weekend, I'm free. Joe's like, yeah, no, can't do it. But no explanation. Just like, no, I can't. No, I'm not available. Not available at all. No, wait. Because you, first off, your impression of me did make me laugh. Here's my impression of you. Did you ever know to this thing about the world? That's my impression of you. Guys, I think we got soft here. Again, we are going to do a listener question episode really, really soon. Joe forgot to mention that the last time we got together and we recorded an entire episode and then it was destroyed. It was destroyed because of a faulty mic wire. So that is why there has been a gap. We've been trying and had issues this whole time. But yeah, this is Kurt Brownell signing off. Joe, have fun. Feral Audio.